Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Labor of Love Wrap Up. I'm here, as always, with the lovely Haley Strong and a special guest joining us. Haley, how are you doing tonight? Today?
I'm doing well. You know, I truly think the pandemic has just completely rotted my brain. Mm-hmm. Because I liked this show. I loved watching Listen to Your Heart. I liked the first episode of this show, and I'm like genuinely excited to keep watching it. But even more exciting, like you mentioned, we have a wonderful guest with us. You know, she's a regular on the Rapisphere, and she's a BFF of our podcast, Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, what is up?
Hi, I'm so happy at every opportunity I have to like slowly nudge my way into your trash romance TV territory, because there's room for all of us.
We are coming together in one big trash conglomerate. So in the last year, you've covered Love Island US and Too Hot to Handle, and we've been keeping on with The Bachelor for, and I'm not kidding, our sixth anniversary just passed. We have been doing this for 6 years.
Wait, what's the 6 year anniversary gift? What should I have brought you?
You being here is gift enough.
So the sixth anniversary is the Kirsten anniversary, is what I'm getting from that.
Yeah, exactly. So we are, like we mentioned in our finale, if whatever we just talked about, you might not have listened because you didn't care about Listen to Your Heart. Whatever, we're not offended. Anyway, we're trying to fill our time because, you know, I'm unemployed, so I might as well be doing something. And I guess that something is talking about Labor of Love.
I mean, I always need some kind of show on my TV screen that is a romance in some way competition.
Yeah.
And yeah, Kirsten, this is a show about a woman who is 41. And she's not getting any younger. What do you think about this concept here? Labor of love.
I mean, there's nothing better during a time when we're all forced to stay home to be like, but just remember, there's a ticking clock. And, you know, eventually
on all of our ovaries.
Thankfully, I'm not someone who's, you know, concerned or interested in children. So I don't need to worry about the ticking clock. But I feel like this could really bring up some anxiety for a lot of people. If it wasn't happening during COVID, I don't know if we'd be watching it, though.
No, so, that's a good point. Not. And it makes me wonder, like, did Fox move this up because they knew, like, there's nothing else on right now? We've gone through a lot of finales in the last couple weeks, and now we're just here being like, so what's next? And Labor of Love is next. And, you know, I thought it was going to be super corny, super cheesy. Fox reality shows kind of have the tendency to be a little, like, tacky. And I'm not saying that, like, this will class up any living room. But I think it could have been a lot worse. And that's saying something about a show that made a bunch of guys, in Mike Bloom's words, J.O. in a truck.
So
the J.O. mobile.
The J.O. mobile.
That is horrifying. And everybody needs to just never say that again. So here's the question. So obviously, there's a lack of content on the horizon. You know, shows can't film. There's going to be gaps in the calendar. What do you think Fox will bring back the old reality shows they canceled after one or two episodes to fill the guy?
Will they air all of I Want to Marry Harry?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
I think that's an opportunity,
call.
And they should do that.
I agree. I think that would be a good move on their part.
Fox, pay me for that idea.
So Christy, we're introduced to her. She's 41. Okay, she
was a past.
She looks amazing.
She does. And she actually was on Brad Womack's season of The Bachelorette. So this is Bachelor. So this is why we're qualified, yeah. Haley, even though nobody remembers
her. I've never seen that season. God, if that is natural, amazing. And if that is not natural, please
amazing.
Want to know the name of her doctor. Holy shit, she looks good. And I like Christy. She's very confident in what she wants, and she wants to be a mother. And Kirsten, I'm kind of like you. Like, I've never yearned for parenthood. I can barely take care of myself. So I didn't totally really few, like I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, like I don't empathize
or like relate to her situation, or
I guess I don't relate, I empathize for her situation totally, how mm-hmm. devastating it is, like that, like you want to be a mom and you want a partner to be a mom with, and I love that she's like, if this doesn't work out, I'm just gonna have a baby. I love that. Great, Christy.
Amazing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, Christy is amazing. I just wonder, how is she single? Like, what's going on there that she is not with someone? Because I would have to imagine that, you know, at 41, being like this incredible, you'd think that everyone would just want to be with her. But are they all trying to date 20-year-olds or something? All the men her age.
She alluded to something like that, because she said when the host was asking her, she said it's difficult
to
date.
The host? You mean Kristen Davis? Yeah. Well, Kristen Davis is the host of this show.
Totally. Yeah, Kristen, Christy, and we've got Kristen here, so we've got it. Perfect.
It's gonna be tough.
There's a lot of confusion here. I think we could just call Christy Cindy avoid confusion, because I heard that also could be her name.
That could be.
Yeah, Kristen Davis is still such a babe, and I thought it was so endearing when Christy is like, "Charlotte was my girl." Like, yeah.
Everybody was so excited to see her. I thought the guys probably thought that she was the bachelorette. She was the mom.
How many of them do you think knew who she was?
I think a few of them maybe recognized her, but yeah, they probably just thought it was the person they were competing for walking in, right?
To borrow really from excited. One of my favorite podcasts, Who Weekly, mm-hmm. is Kristen Davis a who or a them? Mm.
So like she's not recognizable.
This is where I get exposed for not listening to Who Weekly, and right. That's rude.
It's like, do you know, like, do people know who she is, or do people not know who she is?
I feel like people know.
I think so. I would say she's probably a them. She's cuffy, but she's a them.
I feel like the only group where it would be a question of if she is a who is this group of men in their like late 30s, early 40s, who maybe have been single and not seen Sex in the City. Yeah. Their lives are so empty. Right.
Let's talk about these men.
Okay.
They're not that bad.
I mean, but are they that great?
I mean, if this was the cast for Claire's season of The Bachelor, would I be happy? Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, is this why they couldn't cast for Claire? Because all the guys in her age range were fighting to be on this show.
Yeah, like, we know, because we are experts in The Bachelorette, we know not always the best people show up to the female-led seasons of this show. So I think it could have been like significantly worse of a cast.
What do you think these guys knew? Because I thought maybe it was going to be sprung on them. They were surprised, but they came in being like, so we're going to make some babies.
Yeah, they seem pretty like, okay. And I'm glad that they know. I think it would be unfair to spring like, our lead wants to be a mom like in 3 weeks, like to a bunch of like 44-year-old comitophobes.
True.
So I'm glad that's what.
Well, and I feel like they're like, obviously in this first episode is when they, you know, get the fertility testing. But like, I feel like they probably also had to do some kind of fertility testing in the casting process. Like, imagine trying to get on the show and finding out, actually, never, you can't have kids.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get at least one, like, oh, actually, you probably can't have children.
I feel like they had to do that in the pre-screening process, because that would just be too devastating on the actual show.
Yeah, and I feel like they would have been a lot more upset or, like, weirded out by having to jack off in a trailer if
when it
go through it already.
Yeah.
When they have to put up a hand if you've J-O'd in the last 5 days, they had to have known that was a concern as well.
Everyone except Budge, who did not seem super happy about it.
Yeah, he was not excited. There's a guy named Budge on this show.
Which one is Budge? Let me just.
He's the one who wouldn't drink.
And I'm not having a vodka soda.
Yeah, I don't like him. I just scrolled through. I have a page open with like the whole cast on it, so I can scroll through when I forget who they are, because I famously have trouble telling white men apart.
Is it the womenshealthmeg.com?
That is
full of see all 15 yes, Labor of Love contestants Instagram profiles, because that is what I have up.
Bitch, yes, of course.
I'm kind of surprised that is even a feature on Women's Health, but you know.
I mean, you know what? Women's Health probably has to deal with, you know, fertility questions too. So this is Amy, right up there, Allie.
I'm gonna put it in the chat so you can get in on this.
What do you think Budge's real name is? Budget? Like, what is it?
Can you imagine naming your child Budget? Budge Collinson. What does that stand for, Cam? I'm gonna look him up on Instagram specifically.
Okay, so yeah, he just seems to go by Budge. He also has what looks to be an MLM product. It's like youth infusion.
That's what he's the
drink youth infusion for. Official.
Yeah, he's the founder. It looks like he got somebody to Photoshop his picture too, because he does not look like the guy we saw on TV.
This man has 200 followers.
I don't think this show has really taken off because Alan, the hottest guy on the show, only has 407 followers. Like, what's going
Alan
on?
Alan is hot.
I can't even scroll.
Alan
past
is the guy from South Africa, right?
Yeah.
Alan is far and away like the best looking man there. He's like, people might know me from, you know, giving some sequester commentary, and I like to pick one person I think is really hot. This man, he's my Jack Danger, you know, he's my Nick Marano.
I thought you were gonna go with Kyle, who I believe is the one who is 6'8".
But 6'8" is too tall.
Tall?
That's scary to me. Like,
right.
I want to like feel like it's small and delicate, but I don't want to feel like at risk. I feel like 6'8" is too, like, I feel like I would be in danger.
There's actually somebody else who's familiar to us on this show, and that is Marcus Lehman, who was on Survivor Gabon with another BFF of the podcast, Randy Bailey. You know, I wonder if Randy's watching this. I'll slide into his DMs and ask him.
Yeah, Marcus was first out of the limo, as it were, but Christy was not there waiting for him, so I don't know if it has the same symbolism, but he was the first.
Thank God they didn't do like limo entrances like the Bachelor, Bachelorette. Like, can you imagine what these men would have said?
I don't even want, oh God.
Honestly, the cutting room floor. Like, they were like, oh, that would be cute. And then it happened and they're like, that was not cute.
Yeah, what do you guys think about Marcus competing? He was on some other show that, speaking of shows that could be brought back that were on the cutting room floor, I think it was called Three or something, way back when it was on CBS, and it was another like reality love competition, and that just went straight to internet television.
I've never even heard of that. I feel like I saw a tweet recently that Marcus was like, well, Survivor's not calling, so I'm on a new project, Labor of Love.
Yikes.
This is the natural progression. Survivor to,
so you go from Survivor to Labor of Love, so like where am I supposed to go, like Stagecoach? I don't
that might work.
That works. Marcus, I thought, did pretty well on this.
Yeah, episode. All the guys seem to like him, and the head of the class seemed to like him as well.
She was totally crushing on him.
I mean, he's cute and he's a doctor. She makes great points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they seem to be very much on the same page, which I appreciate.
Yeah, they're on the same age. They're ready for the same things, it seems like. Somebody that didn't make as good of an impression was the next guy that arrived, Jason, who
Budge he showed up wearing with a Henley and like a zip up hoodie where most of the people were in suits. Like, I didn't think this guy was going to do too well.
Yeah. It's a little out of his element, was his excuse.
Well, he's Southern. He doesn't know what it's like to talk to people? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, when you come from a small town, it means that there's a lot of pressure on you. And it means that you don't know how to function in society is basically how Jason, you know, expressed himself. He's like, you know, I'm just from a small town. I drank too much. I didn't know. It's like, if I know anything about small towns, which I'm going to say I do, I'm pretty sure there's nothing to do except drink too much. He knew what he was doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of surprised that he stayed around, but he had the same job as her father. So that's something, right?
Yeah, I just wish I could have found myself a man who worked at an outdated car assembly plant, just like my father.
That's the one thing Ethan didn't have going for him.
What a shame.
I can't even joke. Guys, if I ever even say I am interested in dating a military man,
I refuse to let
smack me. Just smack me. It's not for me.
Let's see. Who else stood out to you guys? Should we talk about Alan a little more?
Yeah, I liked Alan. I don't care if he called her Cindy. He's good looking. I also like the firefighter.
Oh, yeah. Firefighter. What was his name?
Angelo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Okay, so I didn't have a problem with Angelo on the show, but I have a major problem with Angelo in this Women's Health Mag article.
Why? Because he has so many abs?
Because the picture of him is, like, scary. Like, why? He doesn't look natural, and I feel like he shouldn't be allowed to pose with his firefighting gear in this way. I feel like it's against the code. He's, like, so veiny.
Mm. Yeah, this is a firefighter calendar type picture here.
I also really like Trent's fashion sense. Like, all everything he was wearing, I wish I owned for me. Including, like, the red suit he was wearing right off the top. He had this, like, great jacket. In this Instagram photo, in this post, he's wearing, like, a cute peach jacket that I'd like to have.
Yeah, this peach bomber is adorable. I was like, after this podcast, I'm going to have to look up where I can buy this, because that is very me. He also has a cat in
there's
the
a picture.
Picture
of a toilet, so, yeah. Behind the toilet.
Relatable content. Yeah.
I thought Stuart was great. Like, you know, as soon as they met, a lot of the times in The Bachelor, we see the, like, first person be like, can I steal you for a second? Stuart did it right. He said, what can I get you to drink? Yes. What a wonderful move by Stuart. That is exactly the question I want to be asked.
That is what happens when it's a bunch of 40-year-olds. They actually have a little bit of manners.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one of the other guys, I think it might have been Trent, like, oh, Stuart, that's what I should have done. You know, like, they recognize. Game. Should have done
and
it.
It's so sad, because I feel like that's, like, literally the bare minimum, but we're all like, oh my god, that was like the sweetest thing ever, like the bar,
like,
is
the bar's on the ground.
Let's see who else.
It was what, like, about, I really, sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna ask you about Tali, because Tali stood out to me, but not in a good way.
Yeah, I didn't get great vibes from him. He also creeped me out. She also seemed to get that impression from him.
So I don't remember this man. Like, I don't know him. He could pass me on the street and I wouldn't have a clue. But in this Instagram picture, he looks like the Zodiac Killer. So I'll pass.
He does. He looks like a killer straight out of, like, a Sears catalog. Like, he's just...
Like, I could see all, yeah, absolutely straight out of the Sears catalog, with the, like, light blue blazer and the darker blue shirt that is not tucked into his pants. And, like, I could see this being, like, an advertisement for Dexter. Like, he is a serial killer. He will get you. Like, if I saw this man, I would run.
Yeah, I wanted to run when he made the comment that, he said, the whole time I'm thinking to myself, I hope you're ready to make a lot of babies with me. That was his first impression of Christy.
That's illegal.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the police.
Yeah. And when they had, like, their secondary conversation, and it could have been editing, absolutely. But, you know, every time she asked him a question, he'd just be like, well, what do you do? What do you think? What's going on with you? Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're being a little cagey, dude. Good. I think she has pretty good sense, and she sent this loser home.
She's getting the same Dexter vibes, I think, because, yeah, he was evading the questions left and right. What does
he do? And also, like, these people are getting filmed. Like, production probably went to her and was like, listen, you got to cut him loose. He's he's not behaving well. Yeah.
Yes. So they have their party was a Southern soiree. They're trying to differentiate from Bachelor, Bachelorette. They don't have the same type of limo entrances. She is not the Bachelorette. She is the, are you ready to meet the mother to be? I don't know what the men are called. Fathers to be.
Oh, I saw this article calls them dadchillers.
Oh,
ew,
great.
I upset. No.
That's just
the other
wrong.
Thing too is, you know, it's very important. This is clearly happening in Georgia. They mention the state numerous times. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of incentives to film in Georgia, so it makes sense mm-hmm. that it would be there. And they're in like two like Airbnb mansions right next door to each other.
Yeah, what are these?
Those are beautiful houses. Do you think it was built just for this?
No, there's not a chance that this show had the production budget to build homes.
I know, but it just like felt like it looked really good.
It did look really good. I think that those are like people's houses and they were like, listen, we will pay you to let us use them for a week and a half and we'll put you up in a hotel. And the people who lived there were like, yeah, I would love to see my show on my house on TV. And then now they're going to watch these episodes and be like, oh, no,
this is what it was used for. Yeah. Yeah. It looked like just like a gorgeous home that would be on HGTV. But then somehow there was like another home right next to it. So maybe it's like somebody has a really fancy guest house in their property or something.
Oh, maybe when they all stood on the lawn and called her name. That was a moment that like we're never going to ever get something like that again. It was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it really felt like just kind of, it reminded me of kind of old seasons of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. I think it was Deanna's season where the guys actually lived on the property with her or something. So it kind of had those vibes where they just have barbecues in the backyard. But yeah, they all called her name. But as we mentioned before, Alan needed a little help with that. Haley, what did you make of that moment where he referred to her as Cindy? Is this a deal breaker?
I don't think it's that much of a deal breaker. He's probably a little out of it. And like, yeah, there's only one girl's name for him to remember, but I don't know. I can't blame him that much.
What about you, Kristen?
It's like, yes. Should he know her name? Of course, 100%. But look at him.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we're not going to cut him just because of that. Yeah.
Like, look at him. Look at the rest of the field. Look back at him.
He doesn't have to know my name.
Yeah. Let's get this guy some more followers. I mean, it's only 407. He is what, the real Alan Santini. So he's South African. He's a writer, lives in LA. Oh, for my writing and poetry, the edge of everything. Let me see. What are his poems? Looks like just pictures of sunsets.
I'm looking him up now. I'm not following Budge, but I will follow Alan.
It is the very marrow of life that we are made to feel. To do so is to be human.
I might follow him on my Finsta.
And to be human is to be moved by what we experience. It is through the very experience of that emotions prevail upon us to feel everything fully. Oh my gosh, this is too long. I can't read this.
I'm not a poem person.
Yeah. He buzzed his head and I'm not a fan.
Oh. Yeah, he's
like,
got
he's
piercing
still
eyes.
Really
though.
Hot, obviously, but like,
is it the quarantine haircut though? Like,
yeah, I think it's a quarantine haircut. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Not everyone should buzz at home, and I stand firm in that belief.
Yeah, Jason Tardik's looking real good with his curls, I think. So
I had to give Ethan a haircut a couple weeks ago, and it turned out not terribly.
That's good.
Honestly, proud of you.
Thanks. It could have been a lot worse. Have been very bad, especially because he was like, can you just like fade it out a bit too? I'm like,
oh my god,
what do you want from me?
The amount of faith that man has in you.
I mean, wouldn't you have that faith in me?
I mean, I would if it wasn't like your first time ever cutting men's hair.
Fair.
Like I would have faith in you to get there, but if it's like, hey, you're cutting my hair for the first time, cool, want to try fade too? I'd be like,
let's work up to that.
Just a light fade. Very light.
I mean, I'm I have every faith in you. I'm sure that you'll be able to just become a full-time hairdresser if you want.
No, I'm not doing that because you get those little hair slivers and it makes me want to die.
What are hair slivers? Did you ever get
that? I don't understand what you mean.
Like it's like a piece of like short hair will like get in your finger and it hurts. It's like a hair sliver.
Oh, I don't think I've ever had that.
I
Google after this pod. Sometimes I'll get them in like, I don't know if it's TMI. I'll get them in my bra. It pokes at my boob and it really hurts. You ever get those? Never mind.
I never have, but I also just don't think I've been around like short hair as much. I'm in the Forever Alone Club, so I don't have to worry about gross men's hair getting stuck in my skin. Labor of love.
What else we got to say about it? How did you like how they did the elimination?
Oh yeah, so she has a tablet and the guys get to watch it on what she's doing look like in real time. They have their TV screen and she's sitting there with Kristen Davis and moving them over to the We Need to Talk column, or what was the other column? Just like they're safe.
Keep on dating.
So
it was like continue dating or talk. And talk could mean that she likes you or that she doesn't like you. And I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like it for the first one, but then now they're gonna know the deal and they'll know they're not like in danger after that. So it's kind of a good reveal for the first one.
Might be a little dumb.
That's true.
What? These guys? Dumb? I like it because it provides like a positive connotation to We Need to Talk, which I think that like talking is important and it should be like, yeah, sometimes a conversation goes well and sometimes it goes poorly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we saw that because she kept four guys in the We Need to Talk column, and that was
Stuart.
People who were Stuart,
mm-hmm.
Philip,
mm-hmm. Tali, and Jason.
Yeah. So two of those guys went home, Tali and a guy whose name I just read, Philip, because she just didn't see like a connection with them. Stuart, she wanted to talk to just because she's like, hey, you impressed me this week. You're on my mind. And then Jason, she actually wanted to have a conversation with him to like clear some things up. So I did really like that. I think maybe the iPad thing is a little clunky.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that there's like three sides to that column.
Yeah, I feel like she could have decided to eliminate Jason too. So it keeps it a little out in the open and up in the air of, okay, we had a talk. And if he didn't say something that convinced her or made her feel better about her decision, then she could have said, okay, we're not on the same page. I'm going to let you go. So I did like that. We see sometimes on The Bachelor, somebody will talk to them, pull them aside before the rose ceremony. I don't think it ever really makes a difference. So this actually lets them have a little conversation. Let's see.
I liked, who was it during this time that was like, I think all of them are going home. Like there's 15 people only. You think they're going to send all of them home?
Right.
Immediately? Maybe, like that's insane.
Maybe if the show is only 3 weeks.
That's true.
Maybe.
I don't know how long the show is, but yeah, my DVR only had three weeks, but we'll see. I don't know if they were caught up or not, but what did you think of how they announced to the guys that they would have to go deposit a sample by waiters delivering them specimen cups on a platter during the soiree?
I thought one of those guys at first was Harry from Too Hot to Handle until I looked closer.
Oh.
And I was like, yes, this is his first LA role. Amazing. But it was a good
crossover. This was the most Too Hot to Handle moment. I mean, how much would those Too Hot to Handle guys liked this kind of vehicle arriving on set?
They would be so happy. I get why they had to do it. I would say this is obviously kind of like the tackiest part of the show, without a doubt. I'm not male. I just don't know if I could ever J-O in a van, knowing that there are six other guys J-O-ing in a van next to me.
I mean, I think that, you know, if you look at how many men are, you know, J-O in all kinds of situations where they absolutely should not be. I think that they'd be able to get past it. You put like a magazine in there.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be able to get it done. I'm hoping that the van is like soundproofed between the little rooms.
Do you think there was a sink in those rooms?
There had to be.
Marcus said there wasn't. I heard him say I couldn't find any hand sanitizer in there. So
yeah, that was probably concerning. My least favorite part of all of that was that like I wouldn't know if their hands were clean.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are any of our hands clean
these days? Yes.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I've always had good hand hygiene, and now I have excellent hand hygiene.
I think the most disturbing comment had to go to Budge, where he was the one who was, he was not going to budge. He was not going to go in. But then he said, well, I like her, so this trailer is going to get a little messy.
Ew.
to die.
I missed that. And I'm
I missed it, and I'm glad I missed it. And now I'm upset with you, Amy,
sorry,
for letting me know about that. That is so disgusting. And he should have immediately been taken off of the show and like arrested by the FBI. And,
I don't think the trailer's supposed to get messy. I think it's supposed to go in the cub. So
I feel like at 44, you should be able to J-O pretty cleanly.
Like, I'm sorry, you got to have control over where things are going. You just simply do, whether that's solo or with a partner. You need to know where it's going to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then these samples were analyzed. Oh, and somebody else said that the bus had a rhythm going to it. So,
I'm upset. Well, and the bus also had like a big logo on it. Do you think the show was sponsored by like a specific fertility clinic or something? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They flew out her fertility doctor. So, yeah, maybe he's all about getting that publicity.
She has great ovaries, according to him.
That's true. Yeah. I think she already froze her eggs, right?
Good on her. You know, if you are thinking about having a baby and you're not sure, freezing your eggs is a good option. Caitlin Bristow talked about it because her good friend Whitney from her season was like an egg fertility specialist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
keep absolutely.
Open, man. Can afford it.
Freeze those eggs, and just like Mindy Kaling said in the Mindy Project, later baby. Okay.
Yeah. Or like Sheena from the season of Vanderpump Rules, freezing her eggs. I think it's a good thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, women are supposed to keep their uteruses in the dark, and we're bringing uteri to light.
Yeah, I think the tough thing is like, does insurance cover it? Usually not. At least,
totally, absolutely. So
that's unfortunate, but yeah, definitely a good thing to do if you can.
Insurance cover women's health better. Okay, mm-hmm. Bye. Yeah. Do you need a new policymaker? Insurance companies, call me. They don't want me.
I would love to hear your stories of working in the healthcare industry advocating for women's health.
Yeah.
It would just be like, why are you stupid? Like,
be like, hey, guess what? I'm a person. Did you know that? I'm a person. Has that occurred to you? Now do you want to give me healthcare?
Healthcare. Anyway, what else to say about the show? What else we got?
Well, we have the award for the range of active swimmers ranged from 7 million to 317 million active swimmers. I think that was the motility. So they were analyzing samples, volume, concentration, motility, and morphology. Again, if they had been participating in the past 5 days, it might have affected these numbers, but they didn't announce who was on the low end, but they did award the high end to our friend Alan. Any shockers there?
I don't want any shockers, thank you.
If you see Alan and you think ovaries, so it makes sense.
Yeah, he's got it all. So yeah, I think he'll overcome this next week when it looks like someone is going to reveal that he doesn't know her name, or he didn't know her name.
I feel like it's just somewhere. It's such an easy thing to be like, Christy, I literally just met you. I'm on TV for the first time. There's so much going on. I was so overwhelmed and I misspoke and I'm so sorry. And I feel like any reasonable person will be like, that's great. Just don't let that happen again.
I've called Ethan the wrong name before in conversation.
I call everybody the wrong name now. Like, I'm so bad for being like, Vianna. And then it's like, oh, I'm talking to like Jenny.
Yeah, so it happens. Like, it happens to all of us. Like, not that big of a deal, whatever. If somebody's trying to throw him under the bus for that, like, get a life, dude.
Yeah, they know he's their toughest competition, so. And he didn't say it to her face. It was just like, yeah, they had just gotten
there. Oh, I wish that he had said it to her face. Can you imagine if he'd been like, Cindy, and she's like, excuse me, who?
Yeah. I want to see her get a little more feisty. I think she has it in her. This episode, I would say she was a little reserved, maybe?
Yeah, like she didn't call out Tali at all for like deflecting very much or things like that.
Yeah, I think she's nervous, right?
Fair. Like, I'm like, nervous too.
I think that as she gets more comfortable in this specific show environment, I think that she'll show more of her personality.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm excited for that because I do like her. I'm excited. I like the show, man. I had a good time watching it. I'm excited to watch it again. Like, I don't know what's happened to me.
I'll admit, I'm excited to see these men in suits have to set up a campsite.
Yeah. Like, because next week they're showing up in suits. Like, it's like they're getting dropped off on Survivor wearing their, you know, they.
Yeah, Marcus is like, flashback.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're somewhere like in Georgia. Marcus
will really excel in the camping. Mm.
Yeah, this could bring out his strengths.
I wonder if it'll come up, or if it's because he's like, he's on a different network. It won't.
That they probably won't air it anyway. But
yeah.
Yeah. Mm. No, I'm excited to see what happens too. My question is, did they sign away the rights to their sperm that they donated? Is she competing for like, I don't really want you, but I just want to have the baby on my own?
Oh my God, I don't know.
I can't imagine anybody signing that.
Is there any what the show was?
But also, like, when you, like, I'm thinking back, like, the amount of paperwork it takes as, like, a single person to go on, like, Big Brother is so much paperwork, and reading all of it takes so long. And I'm imagining this show must have, like, a much longer, you know, contract, because there's so many more, like, different ways that people could be liable. And so maybe they're giving up the rights to their sperm.
Yike. I will say Tali is an attorney and author. So maybe they give up the rights and he just didn't care. Like, I don't know.
I mean, thankfully nobody wants his sperm, so he'll be fine.
I'm going back to this picture of Trent. Is that a fake dog that he has in this picture?
Yes, on the floor of his bathroom. It's a fake dog and a real cat.
That's so interesting.
This picture is incredible. I'm gonna follow Trent too on Instagram.
Trent, I have a hard time believing he's 36. That's my only.
I mean, I'm just hoping that he tags the companies that make his clothes.
Yeah. What is his job? Maybe he's like a designer.
Maybe he's a stylist. He has 567 followers.
Oh, he has more than Alan.
Oh, his cat's name is Snoots. And
yeah, he's a tennis instructor.
Horrible. Kind of looks like Grumpy Cat.
His feed is like horrible, though. I don't think I'll be able to follow him for long.
No. That's what you get the Finsta for. That's where I follow the Bachelor contestants and like MTV people.
Okay, but so here's the situation, and maybe you can help me.
I know you're against Finstas.
But I just don't understand the purpose of the Finsta. Like, are you posting posts on your Finsta?
I don't post on my Finsta. I would get if other people wanted to. Mine's purely to follow people who I want to keep up with, but I don't want clogging up my own personal feed. Like, my Finsta I log into like maybe every couple of weeks. And because a lot of these people, like, they have their accounts on private, so you'll follow them, so you can't actually like go into a nice lurk. But I want to lurk, so I just use my Finsta to follow them.
Okay, so like the people that I know that have Finstas have them so that they can like post things that they wouldn't post on their feed. I was just like, but that's what your close friend story is for, is to post it just for those few people. Sure. And they were like, yeah, but you can't post posts that only your close friends can see. And I was like, but why do you have to post posts? I don't understand. Right. And nobody has been able to give me like a satisfactory reason why they have to make these posts. And then I just have to follow all my friends on two accounts. Like, I don't understand.
I would follow their Finsta on my Finsta. Yeah.
Or what about if you're Madison and you want to comment on your own post? Like, you look so genuine. Hey,
wait. So should I make a... Should I make a Finsta? Like, not a fan page Finsta. I already have an immense fan base. You may or may not know this. No, I'm just kidding. People are not going to catch that joke. They're going to really come at me.
Yeah, they look mad. They like to be mad at you for some.
People love to be mad at me, and it's fine because I find it so funny. So it's fine. So no, I would not make a Kirsten fan page Finsta, but like, should I make a Finsta for like, I don't know, talking shit and like following other Finstas? Like, is there like a whole Finsta community?
Probably.
I don't know.
I get it. It's like weird, annoying. That is what I personally use my Finsta for.
Like, I understood when Martha was like, I might get a Finsta because my, like, students keep finding me. That makes sense to me. That's like, yeah, absolutely, they should not be able to find you on social media.
Mm-hmm. But if you're just a regular... No, you know what, Kirsten? I think I might agree that I would just... if there was posts I didn't want everyone to see, I would just put them on my close friends' posts.
And that's what I do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get it.
I just don't get it. And if somebody can explain it in a way that makes sense, I would love for that explanation. This is something that has been like a burning thirst for knowledge in my mind for like a year at this point, and no one's been able to make it make sense.
Fair. Mm. Anyways, don't follow me on my Finsta, but you can follow me on my real Instagram account at @hstrong_.
That was
I'm not ending things. I'm just telling people.
Okay.
That was so smooth.
Might as well plug it earlier, you know?
People
might
are fast forwarding. Well, no, early and often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Enough people are tuning out.
See, this is the problem with us, Haley, is that I'm always about to say the exact same thing you're about to say.
Yeah. You know what? I don't think people are tuning out of this podcast. I think they just never tuned in.
No, I think that there are people out there that are like, Haley Strong is on a podcast. I'm listening.
Automatically delete.
No, I know because I am one of those people. Also, aww. Amy, we just don't get enough Amy in our lives, to be honest.
Thank you.
I agree. It's because everyone wants to do video podcasts, and fairly Amy doesn't want to do that.
Which is like, yeah. See, Amy has been doing like the Finsta thing.
Yeah,
for anybody.
I'm doing a podcast.
You know, it's Amy's like last name. It's like one of my favorite things.
The podcast.
Yeah. I got a DM one time being like, hey, what's Amy's last name? I'm like, I'm not telling you.
Oh, thank you, Haley.
You're welcome.
Once I saw someone tag her in a Facebook group that she wasn't in, and I was like, someone tagged her, and if that's her real last name, that's out there. And then you were like, don't worry, it's not her real last name. And I was like, cool. It's none of my business. I just got protected.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I was like, they need to leave her alone.
Leave Amy alone.
Amy doesn't want the spotlight. She just wants to give you knowledge and entertainment.
I did want to ask, I forgot about one thing about this show, is that they had something I haven't seen in these kind of shows before. They brought in the family in like these little snippets.
So weird.
Yeah.
So weird. And not just like her family, like contestants' family members. You know what?
It was like rom-com style.
It was so weird. But so I loved the shakeup.
I need to put this. I have a question. So Haley, what was it? What's your brother's name again?
Jeff.
So imagine
he's a Geoff.
If Geoff had like a psychotic break and went on a reality TV show to get in a relationship or something, and the camera crew comes to your house and they're like, tell us about how Geoff is in relationship. How would you feel
first
about that?
First of all, I would feel great. I would wear an evening gown. I would get my makeup professionally done, and I would wear sunglasses the entire time. And then I would say that I don't even know what would I say. I would just be like, listen, Jeff is great, but his family is whacked. Maybe avoid them. AKA me.
See, cause like if my sister was in that same situation, I would be like, honestly, I've never liked anyone she's dated except her husband.
No, but like Jeff and I are interesting folk because neither of us particularly dated. We just stumbled into long-term relationships and here we are. I don't know. I don't know. Amy, did you meet Jeff when you were down? I can't remember.
No.
No. He's if Jeff went on a reality TV show to date, like, I would be so flabbergasted that I would just be like, I'm so happy for Jeff opening up to, you know, opening up his life to you guys. I don't even know what I would do.
You would know the lines to say. It would, like, come over you, I think. You'd be in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
if it really happened, you would know exactly what to say, as you always do. But yeah. I guess this is maybe a little too hypothetical.
I would personally want to be visually striking.
I mean, you don't need to try that hard to try.
You're right.
Like, I have that. You're no, Haley, you are stunning.
Listen,
I need to stop hearing this about your nose, because honestly, it's a beautiful nose.
I like my nose. It's just like, my nose enters a room first. Like, that's fine. That's just what it is.
I don't think that's true, though. Like, you act like you have this crazy beak coming out of your face, and you don't. It's a normal nose.
I have a big nose, and I broke it twice, so I have a prominent nose bump.
You just don't have a button nose, but it's like a gorgeous nose. I'm the same as you.
Nose, which is fine, because I'm not a delicate person. Like, I feel like my nose is like, It fits me. I'm fine with it when the guy sat beside in grade 8 told me I had a big nose and big feet. No, but I'm 28 now. We're fine. We've moved past it.
I think your current Instagram profile picture is like perfect for this show. If Jeff was on it and you could hold Jasper and just have your beautiful floral skirt and you're in the seat. Perfect.
So do you think if this show doesn't work out, Christy will get a cat instead?
Probably. She should have one already. I hope she's like, you know what? I'm having a baby. I want her to not end up with any of these a-holes and just have a baby.
Yeah, I just want her to be happy with her life and her choices. And I feel like that's probably not going to happen with any of these men.
Yeah. Do you think she'll pick Marcus? I feel like they vibed.
I mean, I do feel like they vibed.
I just want her to be happy.
He has the edit right now where you don't, like, he's not like the total, like, the front runner, but he's not like one of the losers. So that could work. He could be in the running. I just don't see how she doesn't end up choosing Alan, because he's just the hottest.
I mean, how could you have the option of Alan and choose anybody else unless she picks Trent because she wants to borrow his clothes, which I think is respectable.
Trent is the one who, he's really focused on, and his parents are really focused on keeping the last name going, because he's the only boy and the last name could die out if he doesn't have kids.
Yike.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a real thing that people get very concerned about. Like, my dad was the only son in his like family of 6 children, and then he did not have any sons. And so it's like, no more McInnesses.
Yeah, but you could give, if you had a kid, you could give it McInnes.
I mean, I argue that I have my cats, Steffi and Vetus McInnes, and like, they're never going to have kids, but like,
it's a legacy.
It's fine.
Yeah.
The legacy lives on.
I assume that if we ever have a kid, it'll just be a hyphenated name. So the strong bloodline will continue.
It will continue.
Because like, I have a great last name.
You cannot give up strong.
No.
Ethan should take strong. Yeah.
That's what I've been saying for
years.
And
I'm not kidding. Like,
I'm not either. Wait, well, I wouldn't. If you met somebody whose last name was strong, you wouldn't want that last name. No, it's great. Anyway, so our kid, my dream is for our kid's name to have a longer name than body. Because I have 2 middle names. So I want our kid to have 2 middle names and for the kid to have 2 last names. What fun would that be? I would have a lot of joy. Ethan would not.
Well, Ethan can get over it because it's up to you.
Well, Ethan has a middle letter and that's it.
Just the letter?
Letter. Just the letter D.
The letter D?
G. Ethan G. Yeah.
And the G doesn't stand for anything.
Like, I guess. That's like, if you really want to go like dig into it, like I would assume it stands for his father's name, which is Gary, but like they just had his
parents just didn't want to put in Gary. They were like, just G.
Well, his sister's middle name is also the letter G.
That's insane. Oh my God. What?
Yeah. So when we went to Ireland, we had to go through customs and Ethan went up first. And the guy was like,
really, just the letter G? And Ethan was like, yeah. And then I go up and he goes, well, at least she has enough middle names for the both of you. She's like, short middle names. Like, my middle names are Elizabeth and Patricia. Like, I got a lot of letters going on.
That's, yeah. I've got Ellen Michelle.
I like that.
Ooh, I like it.
There's a lot of L's.
Kristen, Ellen, Michelle, McInnes. Yeah, it flows nicely, though. I like it. I like a good flow.
I still can't go over. Vetus McInnes is, like, the perfect name. I knew your cat was Vetus, but I didn't put it with your last name before. It's so good.
I mean, and I didn't even name him. He just came to me like that. And oh, really? I just added the McInnes. Yeah.
His name was Vetus?
Yes.
Wow.
I thought
I'm sorry. If I was naming my cat after Survivors, you think I'm picking Vetus?
No, but I didn't. I never questioned it. Yeah. I was like, what survivor is Steffi? Like Stephanie LaGrosa?
I mean, in my mind,
really
I
love like Stephanie LaGrosa and Venus Bushkowskis.
In my mind, I like to think that she's Stephanie LaGrosa.
You got him like peak Vetus popularity. You know,
he was born like the spring after Second Chances aired. So it's possible that that's where his name came from.
We actually kept the name, like our cat's name was Jasper and we kept it. He was, him and all of his siblings were named after Twilight characters.
Well, and that's probably why Scally stands your cat so much, because he likes Jasper the best out of all the vampires, even though I repeatedly tell him that Jasper was a Confederate soldier and there for a reason.
Ooh, that's a good point.
But the name is good.
The name is great.
Yeah.
Interesting. Should I go back and read Twilight again? No, I shouldn't.
Let's read it together, Haley, and then we can talk about it on my stream.
Excellent call. That is what we're doing.
Okay, iconic.
Isn't there a new Twilight thing coming out? I just saw a headline, but I don't.
Yeah, she's finally releasing the first book, but from Edward's perspective, which she was working on forever ago, called Midnight Sun. It just got announced that it's going to happen.
What was the novella she wrote that got released then? Was it like Renesmee's perspective or something?
This is the first I'm hearing about any novella. I'm sorry,
there was a novella. What's her name again? Stephanie Meyer.
But so what happened with Midnight Sun is that she had sent out the first 12 chapters, like a couple of different versions to a few different people, and someone leaked the first 12 chapters, and she was like, this is such an invasion of my privacy and my trust, and I just simply can't proceed with writing this book anymore. And it was like pretty devastating to like 16-year-old me.
That's what I'm thinking. I
actually genuinely love The Host by Stephanie Meyer.
Cool. Sorry. Okay. No, continue. I interrupted and it was
That was pretty much it. So anyways, she was like, I'm not going to write it. And then now during like quarantine, it was like, surprise, this book is going to get released. And she did like a countdown on her website and her fans all crashed the website because people still have bad taste and care about what she has to say. I don't know. So that's finally going to come out. And I feel like it's going to be bad, but I will read it. And I'm sorry to everyone who came here to hear about Labor of Love and got this instead.
Yes, all those 23 people. I want to listen.
We covered the episode. Now we're just in free fall mode.
Yeah.
Anything else we can like BS about? Like, Kirsten, what have you been up to? You've been talking about sequester and stuff. How did this weekend go? Yeah. How did the Survivor sequester go?
Survivor sequester was so much fun.
Good.
It had an iconic boot order. Like the first couple of boots was kind of like, oh, that's not who I wanted to go home.
Can you spoil it for us? Like, okay, if you haven't watched the Survivor sequester and you're planning to, tune out for the next 3 to 6 minutes, but come back. Kirsten, okay. Who got booted? Tell me. So, I know Nick Majorana went out first, and I think Abby won.
Nick went second.
Right.
So Dean, like DK Chillin and Nick Majorana were the first two boots, and that was deeply devastating because they were looking very cute, especially Nick. Nick was looking very good, so I was disappointed. But then things got corrected, and the final set, eight, was like Bryce, Karishma, Lauren Beck, Kelly Wentworth, Abby Maria, Kellen. Who am I forgetting? Oh, and Jatia.
And Karishma, did you say Karishma?
I said blacked Karishma, out for yeah. a second. And so, like, the final four was Abby Maria, Kelly Wentworth, Karishma, and Kellen.
Can you imagine if that was an actual life we lived?
I honestly like, I couldn't handle it on a sequester mini, and it, like, let alone on a season of Survivor. And so,
and Kellen's voted, in Spain.
Yeah, Kellen is in Spain. So by the end of this, it's literally full day late for her, as it's like 8 a.m. and it started at 2 a.m. for her.
Yikes.
And everyone, Abby Maria was so wasted. Like, it was actually too much. Like, at one point, Bryce asks his jury question and she's like, we have one thing in common, and that's purple, and that's why you should vote for me. It was incredible. In her final jury speech, Abby Maria is like, I saw Kellen and I took her under my wing and I protected her in this game.
That's hilarious.
And Kellen won 6-1. Obviously, Kelly Wentworth voted for Abby Maria. Mm-hmm. How do you not? Kevin. Like, she'll literally find you and murder you.
Yeah, totes.
And it was just incredible. And there was, like, a couple of twists that I think maybe could use a little workshopping. But Audrey's really great at actually taking that feedback and taking it into account. So I think that that'll come together. At the final five, they did a jigsaw puzzle for immunity. And Kelly won. And they had to stop halfway through and restart it because Karishma had technical difficulties. And Abby Maria's puzzle got worse the second time she tried to do it. Like, I don't know what she... It's like a new girl when Winston is trying to do a puzzle and Schmidt is like, this is an edge piece, anybody can see it. Like, it was so funny and so entertaining. And that's when I highly, highly recommend people go back and watch if they're going to go back for any of them, because it's incredible.
Were you on the RHAP? You were on the RHAP one, right?
I was on the RHAP one. I went home essentially in a rock draw as the second person in jury because I tried to save Robert and I didn't flip my vote to vote out Jordan Kalish. And I should have just flipped my vote. And then
why would you just vote out Jordan Kalish? Sorry, Jordan.
Well, I was trying to vote Jordan, but what I didn't know is that Puya and Liana were trying to get Jordan out that round.
Right.
Or no, they were trying to get Rob out that round and they didn't want to get out Jordan. And like, they obviously, Jordan was of value to them because he couldn't get my name out of his mouth. And
were you teamed up with the showmance?
I definitely was, but I think that it was getting to the point where they were like, we need to have like people that are more maybe tractable a little bit. I'm not really sure, but all I know is that if I had flipped my vote and Rob goes home, then it was basically like me and Jenny Autumn would have been the only people actually trying to split up the showmance,
right?
And because I worked with them, but then at the start of jury I almost got Puya out, but Liana made a move on Shannon at the exact same moment. So like, I was at that point of the game like, okay, we need to split them up. Mm-hmm. Because I cannot, like, they're not going to take me to final two, so like, obviously gotta get rid of one of them. And it didn't work out. So like, Rob went home and I feel like me and Jenny needed Rob. On the wheel spin that they do instead of rocks, it was either me or Jenny going, so my game was over at that point no matter what happened. So
rough,
you live and you learn, and then you go, sometimes you go home first on the Big Brother sequester and it's fine.
You know what, that was a setup. That was not okay for you. That was rude of everyone. It was rude,
but it's okay. I've come to terms. That's my thing.
Seemed like that was a little bit more like vitriolic of a sequester too, so I'm glad you weren't exposed.
Yeah, honestly, that one was like quite toxic, so I'm okay with having not played the full amount of that.
Yeah, it's like the people who got out early on season 39. It's like, you guys locked up.
I would love to watch them, but I am tired. I like to go.
They don't so much.
Liquidated made like a page where you can watch all of the feeds back, like on an archive. So you can like, you could go and watch it back at a later date and like pause and leave or skip rounds or do whatever. Like, the other thing too, if you're watching it live, you can absolutely watch like the first two or three rounds and then leave for a while and then come back and you'll be fine.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't have to sit for the whole time.
I'll think about it. Is there anything else about this episode or anything else?
I don't
think so. About the
episode. I liked it, and I can't wait to watch. Can't wait to keep watching this.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to see them go on actual dates. They're going to do the typical stuff that they do on The Bachelor, where they have to have test their parenting skills, I think, and have those kind of dates where they take care of dolls.
That's something they do on Love Island in the UK. Yeah, they have. It's always at the end, they all have to watch a baby, and then it'll be like, okay, you guys are doing great as a couple. Now the women are going to go drinking and the men have to take care of the babies by themselves. It's so great. It's always, always, always good. And so I hope that they do that and do it well. But I also think it'd be really funny with this being like a low budget Fox show if they were like, okay, you have to watch an egg for a couple of days and that will be your baby, or like a bag of flour.
That's hilarious.
I'd like them to break out, like, the Fox loves those, like, secret cameras or something. Like, have that secret camera in the fatherhood room so then she can see Jason just start, like, getting trashed again and somebody, like, throwing their doll on the ground or, you know, just setting it aside. I think that'd be good. The lie detector, maybe they'll break out that. That's a Fox staple.
Well, Fox loves a lie detector. Mm-hmm. What was that one I used to watch all the time when I was young about, like, the dads who would try and find their daughters a match or something?
For
a while I was obsessed with Married by Mom and Dad on TLC.
Oh my gosh.
And that was it was just like arranged marriages.
Yeah. I'm still obsessed with Married at First Sight, so it's kind of similar because now they're just leaning into like pairing up people that are not good together, so it just becomes
now I need to watch it.
Yeah.
Good, man, I need to get back into that. Mm-hmm. I'll get there.
I mean, we have time.
I have nothing but time.
I honestly just started like a notes on my phone of just like, okay, all these shows that I can, you know, if I have to come back to this list, it's like in that desperate moment where I'm like, I need something to watch because I'm still stuck at home. I have my list going of shows to check out that I haven't yet. So Kirsten, I usually like to ask Haley for a recommendation, but anything that you want to recommend that you've been enjoying besides this show?
Okay, so I've been doing a lot of like full series, like rewatches during this time. So I did a full rewatch of Mindy Project, which was very fun, and a full rewatch of New Girl.
Nice.
And then now I'm just doing, for the first time, I'm watching Avatar: The Last Airbender because it's on Netflix now.
Cool.
And I've heard nothing but great things about that show.
Nice. Haley, have you discovered anything new?
Ethan's been really enjoying the challenge when we've been watching it. So I wanted to go back and watch a couple old seasons of that. So we're watching the challenge Free Agents right now, and he's liking it. That is the first season Ryan and Allie started podcasting about. So I'm kind of like excited to go back and listen to their podcast too.
That's fun.
So that'll be a lot of fun. What else have I been watching? Nothing really. My soup guy every week tells me I need to watch Below Deck, but I'm going to do that eventually, maybe.
I love that you have a soup guy.
Yeah, well, he's just like it's a nice soup takeout place in town. And I go every week for lasagna soup. And so now we're best friends.
Sounds really good.
And then one day he was like, yeah, like, have you ever heard of like Hey You? And he was like embarrassed to tell me. And I was like, sir, I am Hey You's biggest proponent, and also I have the world's trashiest taste in television, so nothing will surprise me.
That's actually my sister texted me a few days ago and said, are you watching this Labor of Love show? I feel like it's right up your alley. And I have never been so offended in my life.
Yeah, Ethan was not willing to watch this one with me.
Aww.
Oh, I think Ethan would like this. Tell him to give it a shot. Tell Ethan that I said to give it a shot.
I will. And I thought it was good. I had a good time watching it. I think the concept scared him away. But
yeah, next episode, they're camping. Like, he'll get into it. I think that, the specimen sampling probably.
That's like a challenge on reality TV in 2020 is like who has the highest sperm count. Like, I can't believe what this year is and what this world is and like what is going on.
And he got a trophy for it too.
Like, here's did everyone else get a like participation trophy? Because they should have.
I don't know, is it just like a generation that's against participation trophies?
Okay, but here's the thing. People love being like all millennials and they get participation trophies. And I would like to know, who do you think gave us the trophies? You. We didn't ask for it. But I feel like they would be all about a participation trophy.
Yeah.
True.
Good point.
Kirsten, where can people find you on the internet?
So if they haven't been thoroughly scared away, they can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kirsten Said What. They can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What, where I've started doing family game night streams, which have been pretty fun. We've just done one so far.
What did you do for that?
We played Catan and Can't Stop this past week. And I think Catan's like the main one we do. But like,
when you find a game that you will think, Haley probably has played this and knows how to play it, call me. Colors of Catan, do not call me for.
Yeah, I didn't think that it was like your kind of thing, but I would absolutely love to have you on one of my game night streams. So we'll
call me for Crazy Eights.
If I can find a way for us to just play Crazy Eights online, absolutely we will do that. I'll look into Game of Life.
I bet there's a way you could do that.
Oh my God, I love the Game of Life.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, perfect. So we'll get you on for that. I also am podcasting on Kowski Cast about Riverdale. It is the off season, but we have a series we've been doing where we take in someone who's never watched Riverdale and we give them a random episode to watch. And then we basically spoil the rest of the series for that person who was never going to watch the show to begin with. We've done it with Mike Bloom. We've done it with Josh Wigler.
This sounds up my alley.
Please come on. The next two we have coming up are Ally Lasher and then Colin Stone.
Outstanding. Yes.
Would love to have you on as well. Amy, that goes for you also.
Yeah, call
me. If you are interested. It's very fun and it never gets old, like telling people about like, oh yeah, and then they were in a cult that was harvesting organs. And people are like, what? Like it's always fun. I know nothing about the show.
Except that it was based on the comic. So
people need to check that out as well. Sorry for the longest plugs of all time.
No, we love it. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_, and you can check out my blog strongtakes.ca. I'm doing a lot over there these days because I've got nothing else to do. On Friday, I put up a recipe for a nice breakfast burrito, so check that out.
Yum. And you can find me on Twitter at @rhpRecapper. Kirsten, thanks again for joining us, and we'll
thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Bye.